You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles,
Series 5, Episode 4.
Thanks for listening back to the Geekly Chronicles.
This show was recorded on the 11th of November, 2016.
This version of the show isn't quite the same as the one that went out live, as we've had to edit out all of the songs.
It's nothing personal. We're just big fans of making sure artists get paid for the great things they create.
If you want to listen back to the show in its full musical glory, head over to our Mixcloud channel, where you'll find every episode of the Geekly Chronicles as it was meant to be heard.
Ooh.
That's mixcloud.com/GKLYCO.
Thanks again for listening.
Hello.
How's it going? Are we well?
Pretty good.
Are we well on episode 4 of the Geekly Chronicles?
Indeed we are. And in a week which saw people set their shoes on fire after New Balance came out in support of he who shall not be named.
Are you worried that saying his name will summon him to the studio?
No, I just don't think that he who shall not be named deserves any more airtime than he's already got.
Touché. Mm-hmm. It's also a week in which Toblerone upset their customers and me in the UK by substantially widening the gap between their triangular chocolate chunks.
Yeah, please mind the gap between the chocolate and the platform.
In nicer news, this week Disney World announced that their new nighttime light show will feature dozens of drones.
Ooh, that sounds pretty exciting. And in all those weeks, we bring you the Geekly Chronicles.
Yes, we do. We have all the usual features, including the Tumble Fumble, Winning Words, and Game of Geeks.
Not to mention two fantastic guests joining us later on the show.
We will also be playing your requests, as usual, so get them in via our chat room. You can find it on the Geekly website at gkly.co or tweet them to us at gklyco.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. We'd do anything for our listeners, but not that. Never that.
And
well, Catherine might.
Well,
she might enough. Indeed.
Yeah. She does.
On a good day.
So if you want to continue hearing cheesily positive songs, then don't request anything. If you'd like to hear some music from your own minds as well, then please do get those requests coming in, because I've got a whole bunch of songs to just dispel any worries in the world.
Yes.
Right, it must be time to introduce this week's winning word.
Yes, this competition is new for Series 5. Ooh. So far, we have given away lots of geekly merchandise like mugs and T-shirts and Tetris magnets and a tea strainer and a hair clip. Those were all a bit random.
They were, but they were random on purpose. Also, I think you've done the hair clip a disservice. It was a peacock fascinator. Come on.
I think I was just...
And the tea strainer was a tiny yellow submarine.
I can't wear the tea strainer in my hair. Darn you, the hair clip would have made me look fabulous.
You might be able to sort of, you know, hang it off a ponytail.
Like dangle the tea strainer from my ears or something.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well,
we are so fashionable. We are so fashionable people.
While we investigate the feasibility of wearing a tea strainer, those prizes, as I was saying, were very random on purpose, because the winner of the winning word competition gets a Geekly swag bundle as well as a random gift from Terence Eden's Fiverr Fun blog.
Terence was a great guest on episode 1. If you've not heard that interview, I suggest you go back and give it a listen on our YouTube channel.
Nice, but how do our listeners actually win this whole winning word thing?
Well, every show we have a new winning word, and when you hear the word, just call into the show. You can find all the numbers on our website on the right-hand side of the page or at gkly.co/win.
Yeah, we'll then just ask you when you heard the word, just to make sure you were listening, and that's all you have to do. That's it.
Pretty straightforward, really. We'll be adding another mystery item to the prize bundle later in the show. I have the package right here.
Stop waving your package at me.
Oh, you too.
Innuendo alert. Innuendo alert. Catherine's at it again.
Yeah, she is.
Anyway, we'd better announce the winning words. Seriously, you two, stop talking. The word that you need to look out for if you would like to win some cool stuff... I say cool stuff because it's actually cool, not because I'm trying to... Whatever. I'm cool, honest.
You've All right.
Anyway.
Okay.
This week's winning word is blintz.
That's B-L-I-N-T-Z. Yes. You might have to Google it, because I couldn't remember what it meant this morning when I realised that that was today's winning word.
Nope.
Yeah.
Spent most of the day walking backwards and forwards going, blintz, 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 to get it in my head.
Just to clarify, lines aren't open yet.
That is a fair point. That's the winning word.
Yes.
That's the winning word.
But as soon as you hear the word, except for those three times that you just heard the winning word,
summon one to the studio.
Yeah. You need to be the first person to give us a call and win.
And here's how you do it.
If you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020-3389-6245 or in the US on 415-287-9705. You might just win something. Calls cost the standard geographic rate from mobiles and BT landlines. Other networks may vary, and international calls will cost significantly more. Lines close at the end of the show. Please do not try to enter if you are listening back to the podcast, as the competition has closed, but you may still be charged. For full terms or to find another regional number, visit gkly.co/win.
And lines open now.
Try saying that first thing in the morning. Well, get those requests coming in. We really love to play some more of your music. We have lots of other bits and pieces that people have requested in advance of the show. A lot of requests for strong female artists and things this week. For whatever reason, something appears to be going on in the news. We are challenging ourselves tonight not to say the T word. We're not to mention he who shall not be named.
Indeed. Hence the he who shall not be named ing.
Quite. But if any of us do say that word we're not meant to say, you will hear this noise. So,
i.e., you know, the noise that is represented by that word.
Yeah, a little bit.
In British slang.
So, my challenge to you both this evening, Chris, Catherine, is to not say the T word. We do not want that word on the air. Only nice things and nice thoughts on the show tonight.
Challenge accepted.
Like that noise.
Like that noise. Yes.
Which is far preferable in many ways.
What is nicer than this, eh? But that is a lot better than the first one that I'd picked. I played it to Chris and Catherine earlier and they were like, no, that sounds too wet.
Not suitable for a tea time show.
No, definitely not.
Although I did quite like that the YouTube video you found them from was called Fantastic Farts and Where to Find Them.
Yes, that was quite excellent. From Fantastic Farts onto Fantastic Arts.
It's like crowdfunding without the funding or the crowd.
On our last show, Kez had a great idea for Halloween.
Yeah, I was proposing the crap bot for dealing with all of your trick-or-treat admin.
It rather divided our listeners, didn't it?
It did indeed. We had our first 50-50 split.
Luckily, we decided that it would actually get funded, probably something to do with the popular vote.
Oh, yeah.
This week...
Of course, indeed.
There's another button to press.
There is another button to press. Where? Which button is it? That one.
Watch out, world. It's Catherine's turn to pitch this week.
I'm so on top of this.
God.
Yeah, well, predictably, I had this idea while I was driving in my car. That's actually where I have most ideas.
Indeed.
I don't think it needs much introduction, really. I give you the ShatNav. Ooh, so apparently this new car comes with built-in ShatNav, whatever that is.
Greetings, weary traveller. I'm William Shatnav. Where shall we boldly go today?
Ooh, Ilfracombe, please.
I've been there. It's like God went to the bathroom on a parking lot.
Well, it's where my sister lives, so...
Are you sure? I mean, the last time you went round to call, was there a wood chip on the wall? Did she notice you at all?
We kind of grew up in the same house, so there wasn't a lot of calling and noticing...
Are
really?
You sure you want to go down that road?
Just take me there.
I once drove my own car. The feeling of the wheel beneath my hands, the sounds of the engine
climbing that mountain.
Could you maybe drive this one for me then?
I can't. I'm in a passionate affair with the mountain.
You have reached your destination.
Where am I? This isn't my sister's house.
I changed your destination. Ilfracombe is laced with unsavory characters. Welcome instead to Cornwall.
You can't just reprogram something you don't like the outcome of. This isn't the Kobayashi Maru. Okay, I've had my coffee. Let's go.
Calculating route. Second star to the right and straight on till morning.
I'm trying to get out of Bodmin services. It's really not helpful, Bill. You know, Shatnav, I really fancy a road trip.
A road trip? I hear that. My penis is already packed.
Just somewhere with good food.
Like a moister, tastier turkey.
Do you know the way to San Jose, perhaps?
I don't know. I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose my way. Battery low.
How? I thought you were built in.
It's been fun.
Shatnav? Bill? Well, now how am I going to get home from Viridian 3?
Well.
Oh, dear.
So the idea behind Would You Fund It is that, we pitch an idea. This week it was Catherine's turn to do that. And you decide whether or not you would, if you saw that on Kickstarter, would you fund it?
As simple as that.
So how can people vote?
Oh, dear me.
Well, you can go along to gkly.co/fundit and vote there. Or we have a Twitter poll on our Twitter account at gklyco.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you want a William Shatner-powered sat-nav is basically
Indeed.
The question.
Yes.
A Shatnav.
Well,
it's also worth noting that that whoever did that William Shatner impression probably needs a lot of work.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's...
Uh-huh.
Whoever that was.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
Well, let us know whether or not a William Shatner-powered Satnav is something you would build into your car.
I don't know if he
something...
actually powers it. He's not sort of on a... bicycle providing the energy.
It's like a little hamster in a gold Starfleet uniform just inside the engine, just powering the car.
Oh dear.
At least it's not a red one. It would, you know, it wouldn't make it past the first junction.
No. Oh god. Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, we're nerds. There's like nobody else.
Moving,
we're just sat there making Star Trek
jokes. It's
called
the Geekly Chronicles for a reason.
Yes.
Yes, that we're geekier than most of our listeners.
Yes. You two are geekier than me. I don't understand half the Star Trek references in there.
And yet, somehow, we look the most normal.
Well...
Thank goodness this is radio, huh?
Indeed. Yeah. So, if you want to vote for that, do head over to the website or our Twitter account, and we'll be checking back in with the results from Would You Fund It later in the show.
It's like the Archbishop of Banterbury and a Bantosaurus Rex and a Bants baby, and it's like top, innit?
But the one of the things that I used to love when I went out stationery shopping or was at an airport or something like that was getting a Toblerone. They were my little going out treat, and they've been in the news this week, haven't they?
Yeah, Toblerones are an airport tradition for me. Always got to get the Toblerone at departures. But they have been in the news. As we said at the beginning of the show, they have widened the gap.
Between the train and the platform.
Between the Toblerone and the next Toblerone.
Right, so there's just less Toblerone in the...
So, if you're not familiar with Toblerone, it's a, triangular prism of chocolate, basically. And it's in, essentially, slices that are all together on a sort of bar of chocolate at the bottom.
I don't understand when you said, if you're not familiar with Toblerone. Surely everyone in the world knows what Toblerone is.
If you're not familiar with Toblerone, you should be. But...
There are children starving in the Sudan who know what a Toblerone is.
Are you sure? Are you sure on that one?
And everyone can do a Google image search, right?
Not if they're starving in,
okay,
in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Hey, that, not necessarily. They may be. Anyway, they have essentially removed every other triangle and they have widened the gap between the two slices of thing,
and?
Which I mean, so, you get less chocolate now,
well, yeah,
which is so what people are annoyed about.
So they've had to, you know, decrease their portion sizes. That's, you know, that's what hashtag a Brexit does to you.
But the thing that annoys me the most about this, and as you can probably imagine, this is not the first time I have got angry about this on the radio this week. You can't now get a Toblerone and a chocolate orange and separate all the chocolate orange slices and put them between the Toblerone slices to make a Toblerange.
This is the ultimate first world problem. You know that, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. I am fully aware of that, but I am outraged. It doesn't work now.
Yeah, there are so many things that people are outraged about in the world this week, and you are sat here.
Well, you told me I'm not allowed to say the T word.
You're not allowed to say the T word, you know. You're not allowed to mention...
It's most of what makes me angry this week.
He who must
Toblerone,
not be named.
The other T word.
Yeah.
That's a show title right there.
Yes, the other T word. Interesting.
Well, weirdly, Toblerone makes my mouth sore, so it really doesn't bother me.
Were you allergic
to Toblerone? No, some things just get me. And I think it's the sort of weird, like, jagged honeycomb and that in it. It just doesn't do for me. I think it's because I like to kind of suck chocolate until it all dissolves.
Oh, and are you that sure just you're work. Eating it right?
Oh, it's just bad.
I'm
no,
just
not,
sat here.
It's like, not something I enjoy.
Like, you can't see my face right now, listeners, but I'm sat here with, like, this frozen look of horror on my face looking at Catherine in the studio. Everything you just said was wrong on so many levels. You might as well go off and vote that way.
The chocolate sucking don't, approach is a valid
don't even
method.
Go there.
you know, people that like He Who Must Not Be Named, they suck chocolate too.
It is a valid approach, okay? I will not hear anything. I am pro chocolate sucking on this. This side of the table.
I didn't think the show was going to go this way, to be honest with you, but let's have that debate.
I don't know any other way. It's because if you just chew chocolate, you don't appreciate the taste.
Yeah, it's over quicker.
And it's over so fast.
Maybe I'm the one in the wrong
if
here.
If you just kind of have it in your mouth and let it melt,
well, yeah.
You experience it to the max.
Have I been missing out all these years?
There's a reason that chocolate melts at body temperature, so you can do this.
I'm not sure
that's the reason chocolate melts upon it. I think it just happened to be a coincidence.
I mean, do you have evidence that it's not?
I mean, M&Ms, you know, they melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
Yeah.
That was a slogan
that's
for
the
a
melting.
Reason.
That's the melting is the whole
but surely
point.
Surely if they melt at body temperature, they'd melt in your hand as well.
Well, no, because external and internal body temperature are different things. That's why you have to put a thermometer in your ear.
I don't have to do that normally. It's not part of my daily routine.
When you want to measure your temperature, you have to put a thermometer in your ear.
How did we get from Toblerone to measuring body temperature?
Because you were wrong about chocolate. But
right, I'm wrong. I better go and take my temperature. Hold on, everyone.
Yes.
I'm going to go and check how hot I am.
I think we need a Twitter poll. Chocolate. Chew or suck?
I'm getting on that right
Make
now.
It happen.
I'm
Make
making
it happen.
That poll.
Make it happen.
Do head over to our Twitter at GKLYCO, and in just a moment I will be tweeting that poll.
Moving away from chocolate, then. It's clearly a divisive issue because we don't have enough of those in the world at the moment. Disney World. You were saying this, Catherine, about a new nighttime light show?
Yeah, so this is part of... I suppose they're kind of winter celebrations. Loads of drones are being used to kind of make light shows, and you know, they all want to move around and be all twinkly. And one of the things it makes is a Christmas tree. And
I mean, you know,
pretty
controversial statement, but you know, drones can also be bad.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know. I just kind of part of me thinks that Syrian child goes to Disney World. That's probably not going to be the world's greatest thing ever. Drones. I mean, I don't know. Maybe my mind went to a different place.
I think the drones probably look a little bit different to the ones that drop bombs.
Probably more like, you know, the sort of drone you would buy in Argos as a novelty to right. fly around your garden.
Okay, that makes more sense.
I imagine.
Yeah.
So in Disney World, Florida, new nighttime air show featuring dozens of illuminated drones they released a short clip as they swirl in the night sky to form a Christmas tree.
Oh, that's quite pleasant. Yes, I've in no way made this story awkward. But people have been setting fire to their shoes. There was that one.
I mean, making something beautiful out of something that's been used for...
I think that's a very noble thing, yeah. I think that's right.
It makes me think of Star Trek First Contact.
Of course it makes you think of Star Trek. Out of an old nuclear missile.
Out of an old nuclear missile, yeah.
Yes, I think that's a really good point, actually. I think art is brilliant at taking things that used to be used for bad or nefarious purposes and making it good, making it nice and bright and lovely. Hmm. Burning shoes.
Yes, speaking of things that are nice and bright and lovely.
The flaming sneaker.
Yes, he who shall not be named isn't any of those things. And apparently... The New Balance shoe manufacturer came out in support of that person. And so people have been responding to this by setting fire to their shoes in protest.
Just that while they're wearing them, or...?
I hope not, for, like, personal safety reasons, but...
The images I've seen, they weren't wearing the shoes.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, you know, you could just donate them to charity or decide not to buy any more.
It's very wasteful, isn't it? Yeah, at least donate them or something.
Hmm.
But then I suppose people burn their bras in protest. Would they donate those?
True. Indeed. I think that's the similar point they're making.
Is that more towards the nature of the bra itself?
Yeah, the shoe hasn't done anything.
The nature of the bra, that's totally an album right there. An album title.
The shoe hasn't necessarily done anything wrong, just the company that makes it.
That is true.
Whereas the bra in the bra burning case is the thing that the burner is angry about in many instances.
Fair point.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, interesting that people are taking so many opportunities to protest at the moment. We've seen news over the last couple of days of protests happening everywhere, and I suppose this is just another form of protest, which is a very interesting way to do it. But certainly seeing people protest against an actual supporter of He Who Shall Not Be Named is interesting, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. Quite a dangerous form of protest.
Well, yeah, especially if the shoes are made of very flammable material.
Mm. Or you're anything. Setting them on fire inside or something.
Yeah
don't. If you're going to burn your shoes, people, please don't do it at home. Pick a safe space outside. Don't lob them at anyone.
I think we should be going with the more don't try this at home approach rather than please burn your shoes carefully.
Yeah.
Burn your shoes responsibly. maybe we should just not encourage people to burn their shoes.
Just pop them in the bin or donate them to Oxfam or something.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I definitely think donating or recycling...
Yeah.
Yes. It's probably the best way.
There's a safer options. Just going to check back in on the results of our Chew versus Suck poll.
Is that really happening already?
That How's is really going? Happening. Currently, 80% of people who voted in the poll agree that sucking is the correct way to consume chocolate.
Wow. I've been wrong all these years.
Yes. We've had a tweet in from Carla Porter who says chew, though, on the other hand. But
yeah, there's one for the chew.
Jake in the chat room says that he sucks chocolate because his teeth died. So...
And Scatamoon just says, burn your chocolate shoes!
You see, that would be safer because they don't have to be as warm. You could just wear them a lot and they would melt.
Yeah, true.
I'm just going to combust on your feet, though. That would...
Self-combusting shoes. The ultimate protest shoe. If you kick hard enough,
the very idea of a protest shoe. Oh! I didn't realise that if you've got a Twitter poll open and people keep voting in it, it changes on your screen. But we've got a late surge in popularity for Chew. It's currently 44.56, but we'll keep an eye on this and keep you updated as the show goes on.
Yeah, I was convinced that Chew was the right way to go.
Do retweet that poll so that your Twitter followers can also weigh in on the debate.
Yes, this is the important question of this evening.
The important
show.
Vote, right?
I know.
Why were people choosing between people earlier in the week? I mean, this is clearly the important vote of the week.
Yeah. Do or suck.
I mean, also, would you fund it? Which is also floating around on our Twitter. Generally, we're having a very votey sort of evening, but in a much less divisive and horrible way than happens elsewhere in the world.
And we always respect the popular vote.
We do always respect the popular vote. There's no electoral college for Twitter polls here.
the electoral college of Chew versus Suck.
I want that on a t-shirt. So other things have been happening in November as well. It's not just not just the election in the US, not just all the news around Brexit and that kind of thing. You know, generally more positive things have been happening this month as well.
Indeed they have. There are a couple of November-long events that tend to run around this time of year in November. But, Kez, this year you've been taking part in NaNoWriMo.
Yeah, that's right. So NaNoWriMo, which is something... Well, I'll let the expert explain in a moment. But I'm writing a novel. It's exciting. I've never done that before. I will certainly let all of our lovely listeners hear it, read it, so used to talking on the radio.
Yes.
Read it when they're done. But I wanted to catch up with an expert, someone who actually knows a thing or two about that. So just press the right combination of buttons and telephone wizardry here. Here we go.
We're joined now by Helen, who is a municipal liaison, or an ML, for NaNoWriMo.
And those are a lot of words that make sense to some people and not to others. Hello.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
Very well. Enjoying our celebration of peace and love and tolerance on the show tonight. Now, for the layman, what is NaNoWriMo?
Okay, it stands for National Novel Writing Month, and the idea is to write 50,000 words in 30 days. Basically, it's crazy, but great fun.
And when you say national, it's kind of not anymore, is it?
Actually, it's international. It started off in San Francisco and then spread around America and then managed to hop over every ocean, and it's now in every part of the world.
Wow. 50,000 is a lot of words. I tried this once and got to about 25,000 words and then gave up because I thought everything I'd written was rubbish. How do you typically get on with the word target?
The first year I did it, I only did 13,000. So the fact that you got halfway is really quite good, actually, for a first timer. Normally I get to about 25,000 words by last weekend and then have to spend 2 days frantically trying to write the last 25,000 words, to be honest. This year looks to be about the same because I'm 12,000 words behind right now.
Ah, well, the best novels do tend to end with a recitation of the Lorem Ipsum for several pages.
Yeah, no, mine might be getting there. I tend to find, actually, by the time you get to the end, it's really, really bad scenes or, like, things explode and suddenly there are dinosaurs and then dragons.
I'd like to
dragons
see all of those things combined.
Maybe not at the same time, though. Although I think fanfiction.net probably has a special section for that.
You're an ML, then. What does that mean?
So that stands for Municipal Liaison, which is very American. So I'm the community liaison for Berkshire. And basically, I cheerlead and I book libraries. And then everything else, it's all run by the wonderful region, really. It's people who participate who make everything happen.
So obviously, as the ML, you have access to some stats and things. How many words have people written in your region?
So far, we've done 1,437,178 words, and that's from 185 people.
Wow, that's incredible. 185 people taking part. And is that typical for regions? Is that a small region? Is that a big region?
We're quite small, although there are smaller. There are people who have only got sort of 40 in their region. But then you look at places like Sydney or Melbourne or London who are thousands and thousands of people. We've actually got 1,500 people who at some point have registered in Berkshire, but we've only got 185 who are active this year. And if you look at Melbourne, they've got well over 400, 500 active people this year.
But that's, you know, potentially 185 new novels out there in the world for people to be able to read. And that's incredible.
Yeah, that's from just one little county in the UK. And
you organise things like write-ins as well. What's a write-in?
So a write-in is where we take novelling from being that solitary, painful exercise where you sit in a dark room and hammer at a keyboard, and we meet up in coffee shops and libraries, and we make far too much noise for the library, and we share ideas and chat, and then have these frantic 15 minutes where we write as much as we can and try and compete with each other. And it's just generally really good fun.
Having been keen to write in, or to myself, I certainly attest to the fact they are very fun, great kind of group experiences. I've met some amazing people already just this month from taking part in NaNoWriMo, which is very cool.
Yeah, for me, it's all about meeting people, actually. It's nice to write, and I feel a great sense of accomplishment at the end, whether I win or not. You know, you've done something which you haven't done before, and you've created this piece. But mostly for me, it's about this community, about meeting people, and all kinds of different people. There are people who are still at school, there are people who are retired, and everything in between. And I love that. I love getting to meet people who I would never, ever normally meet.
Yeah, it's just such an amazing part of that. So if people want to take part, is it too late for newcomers for this year? How do people get involved for next year?
It is not too late for this year. If you start now, then your word count will be somewhere about 2,500 words a day. But that's not that hard to do. So you can still do it. And you don't have to hit the 50,000 to take part. You know, it's all about, you could write a short story of 20,000 and just come along and join us. So you go to the National Novel Writing Month website, which is nanowrimo.org, and you can sign up there. And then you home in on a region, and then you can join our Facebook group and come along to our events.
Brilliant. So that's nanowrimo.org. People can sign up and get involved. And just a sneak peek, what is it that you're writing this year?
I am writing a fantasy novel about a young graduate who wants to join the Potioneers Guild, but because she's working class, they won't let her because they're a bit snobby. So she's setting up a potions lab in her basement and selling them on Etsy.
Wicked. That is the best use of Etsy I have ever heard.
Yeah, and at some point there will have to be a dragon, because it's a running joke now that I've done this for 7 years and every year there's been a dragon somewhere.
Brilliant. Well, Helen, thank you so much for joining us and telling us more about NaNoWriMo. We really appreciate your time, and we look forward to reading about dragons and Etsy.
Yeah, it sounds way better than my NaNo attempt.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, and don't forget to keep sending your requests in. You can join the chat room, which is a GKLY channel on Freenode, or you can just, you know, use the chat box on the website. It's nice and easy. Or tweet them over to us at GKLYCO.
It's like a boiled egg, only the soldiers are geeks and the egg is a studio and, oh, now I'm hungry. It's the Tumble Fumble. Are you ready for a scroll in the hay?
Well...
I'm not entirely sure I've ever quite understood the eggs and soldiers metaphor, but it does never fail to make me hungry.
We are geeks, and I do like an egg.
So, yeah. Catherine, you've been extracting pearls from the internet oyster. What have you found for this for us this show?
I don't know about pearls, but I might have found a plastic bead or two down the back of the couch.
Yeah. Excellent. So,
what is the Tumble Fumble?
I don't know, really.
Does that do any of us know at this point? Well,
random things that have made me smile on the internet this week. So the first one is Weatherspoons Carpets on Tumblr. So that's weatherspoonscarpets.tumblr.com. So for our listeners outside of the UK, this might not make too much sense, but there is a chain of pubs called Weatherspoons. And
I believe they have featured on the show before.
Probably. It's kind of ubiquitous. You find them in every town.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, they do kind of cheap and cheerful food and cheap and cheerful beverages. And so somebody has decided to look at the floor when in the pub.
Right, sure.
Fascinating as it is.
Try not to do. And so people have started sharing photos of the carpets in the local Weatherspoons.
Of the carpets.
Pubs. The carpets.
The carpets, right, of course.
And, you know, when you initially think about this, you just think, why? But then when you look at them, you realise, well, everyone is different.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at these now. There are a
jazzy and amazing
variety of carpets of yes. all shapes and sizes.
They are indeed.
And levels of cleanliness.
Some of them very much look like people may have... wiped their shoes on them.
Yes.
Or spilt their pint.
Now that one looks like somebody spilt a blintz on it.
Yeah, quite a grey one. Yeah. I think.
Well trodden
yes. blintz, yeah.
Indeed. there are some that are quite pleasant, and there are some that are just sort of have They were originally like a multicolored pattern, and all the colors have sort of become the same thing.
Oh, you weren't by any chance looking at the Wilfred Owen in Shropshire when you noticed that blintz, were you?
Yes, it did look very blintzy, the Wilfred Owen.
Yes, it's a bit
blintz-like.
Crummy.
Yes. Oh, I rather like the carpet in the Gatekeeper in Cardiff.
Yeah,
it's very bright.
Very bright, quite autumny. Yep. I like that.
Autumnal shades. So basically, if you're a fan of carpets, or carpets that are like they've had stuff spilt on them, like blintzes or whatever.
All the best people are fans.
Oh no, I've got a new favourite. The Parkson and Heatherlands in Bournemouth. That's definitely my favourite.
I can't see that one.
Carpet.
Describe it to us. The magic of radio.
It's really bright. It's got red and green and yellow and blue.
So someone has basically taken Joseph's amazing Technicolor dream coat and put it on the floor of a Wetherspoons.
Yep.
Nice.
Wow.
Mm. Wow.
These are brilliant. I want to go to my local Wetherspoons, take a picture of the carpet and submit it to this blog.
See how it
compares.
I'm
going to go to my local Wetherspoons, throw a blintz on the floor and just tread it into the carpet, see if it improves matters.
Anyway, right.
So what else is there on the Tumble Fumble?
What else is there indeed? Okay, so in the spirit of amusingness and light relief, the Huffington Post shared a post of the funniest animal photos of 2016. Mainly, I think it's worth it for sort of the first picture of a fox in the snow. That's definitely my favourite one. the others are varying levels of amusing. But yeah, that fox won it for me. As always, I'm giving you very visual things on a radio show.
You do that a lot.
Yep.
Tumblr is quite a visual medium, in fairness.
It is, yeah. So it's our own fault for having this section. but hey, people seem to like it.
We've got no one to blame but ourselves.
I will post a link to this amusing animalness in a moment on our Twitter account, so you can go and check it out. And we also have an 18-minute ultra HD tour of the ISS for you. So NASA have posted a tour of the International Space Station using a kind of a fisheye lens that, well, it's just amazing. You feel like you're actually an astronaut. You can look around the entire ISS and, really feel what it's like to be on board.
And pee in whatever you're wearing.
Mm.
I mean,
just like a real astronaut.
that bit is optional during
it's
the tour.
It's never optional if you want to be a real astronaut. It's just what you got to do.
So watch the video and wet your pants. And you've
got the full experience.
Watch the video and wet your pants. Wow.
For the full astronaut experience. You heard it here first.
Well, I mean, I'm not entirely sure how to follow that. But thank you, Catherine. You can see all of the highlights of what Catherine has discovered on Twitter, as you said.
And the lowlights.
Yes, the peeing is very much optional. Just
the peeing is very much optional. That's
not
tonight,
a phrase
that's
I'd have
the
to think.
Subtitle of tonight's episode.
So tonight we've told people to set fire to their shoes and wet their pants. Although
basically,
if you did set fire to your shoes, wetting your pants would probably help put them out.
Yes. But when you, like, there's a common rumour that if you get a jellyfish sting and you wee on it, it stops it from hurting, and it's actually a myth. But if you've set your shoes alight and you want to put them out, it probably would actually help. At the very least, it would stop the stinging.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Might we all be a mite hysterical?
We may well be.
What have we possibly got to be hysterical about? What possible laugh or cry moments have we had this week?
I don't know, but in a possible laugh or cry moment coming up very soon, the poll for Suck or Chew is seriously not going the way I thought it was.
That's because chewing chocolate is the natural thing to do.
I mean, it's wrong.
All these people out there not experiencing as much as they can out of chocolate.
Yeah.
Or you people experiencing chocolate in a way that it was never intended to be experienced. In which case, it's perfectly valid. It's just not what the majority think.
Well, when have we ever trusted
go
the majority?
Go minority!
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, that is a bit of a theme for the evening show. We want to kind of promote diversity and love and equality. I mean, it's been a...
And chocolate,
It's been a difficult week. It's... and. In a serious tone, it has been a difficult week for a lot of people. Obviously, we are veering away from focusing on the negatives and trying to focus on the positives. We've got an amazing guest coming up next. We'll be talking to in about 5 minutes, Ellen Murray, who is doing amazing things for trans young people and for trans communities in general. And there are so many communities that are affected by some of the news this week. And, you know, we really want to be a beacon of hope and positivity and celebration for those people. And, you know, it's something that is so important to all of us. It's something that's, you know, important to me for many personal reasons. And you know, as someone that is not in the majority, as someone who's kind of in a minority group in some ways myself, it's, you know, a really important issue. And they're all really important issues. So we want to fill this show with positivity, with love, with happiness. You are all amazing, all of you that are listening, you know, whoever you are. I mean, you know, with the exception of people that perhaps decided to go out and vote for... you know.
Him.
Yes. But seriously, I mean, so many of you that listen are so amazing. And, you know, we really want to celebrate that amazingness. So keep your requests coming in. We will happily play requests. Any requests that you send through is brilliant. Please let us know if you've got those. We'll be talking to Elaine Murray after the next song. We're really excited and looking forward to that as well. So if you've got any questions or any comments for Elaine, feel free to tweet us at GKLYCO. You can jump in our chat room.
Is Elaine like Ellen?
I said Ellen. Ellen.
Yeah.
There's lots of L's in the world.
Yes.
My apologies.
We don't have it. We have had Elaine on the show before.
Not but, Elaine Murray. But, Elaine Murray doesn't exist.
Elaine Murray doesn't exist.
We'll be talking to Ellen. Ellen Murray. We've got we've been lining up guests for future shows as well, and we have a lot of very similar sounding names all in a row, which is very difficult for my poor, small, tiny brain to comprehend. So my apologies for that.
We've had Helen and Ellen, and next week we have an Ellie.
Yes, so I think...
Elaine is in the chat room.
Mama always said Geekly is like a box of chocolates, except it's already been eaten.
Well, I feel like...
Correctly or otherwise.
I feel like I ought to apologise. When I said that Elaine Murray wasn't real, what I meant was wasn't someone that we knew or was going to be a guest on the show. So my apologies have to go out to Elaine Neal, the former member of Scottish Parliament.
Elaine Murray, the former...
Oh, Elaine Murray! Who's he?
You're really not getting on top of the names this
evening. Okay, now we need to Google Elaine Neal and find out who
is. As opposed to Elaine O'Neill, who we do know is a real person. Oh,
I am failing at every opportunity to do with Ellen's and Elaine's or whatever this evening. So without further ado, Ellen, Elaine,
whoever you are.
Get all those out of the system.
We are now going to speak to
Ellen Murray. Hello, Ellen.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. I got it right that time.
Yes.
Ellen.
Just about, yes.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, not at all. It's a universal experience. I get emails to all sorts of things these days.
That's still no excuse. I should get your name right.
It is written down in front of you.
Well, and also, you're awesome. For anyone that follows you on Twitter or kind of takes a look at the things that you do, you are such an inspiration to so many people. We are so excited to have you on the show this evening. So first of all, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So tell us and the listeners a bit more about the work that you do.
Sure. So I'm the current chairperson of Gender Jam, which is a trans youth charity in Northern Ireland. So basically what we do is we bring transgender, non-binary young people, people who are questioning their gender, together, give them a safe space, give them a place to meet people like themselves, and give them the information they need to sort of get what they need and flourish. We've just opened a beautiful new centre in Belfast. I think it's one of the only ones in the UK, and it's definitely the only one on the island here. That's just for trans people and the folks in their lives, to make them really, to give them a space and give them access to their rights. So I fight on... My job is basically shouting at teachers and shouting at doctors specifically, and fighting young people's corners to make sure that they are getting the rights and the entitlements to the society they live in.
That's just a little bit impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And more than a little bit.
Well, and as an adult trans person who didn't really have those kinds of things when I was younger, I just think it's amazing. It sounds absolutely wonderful. Can you tell us a bit more about what the biggest challenges facing young trans people in the world today are? I mean, obviously, a lot of trans people will know what these issues are, but I think it's important for everyone to know the issues that these people are facing.
No, absolutely, and certainly the needs of trans people and the things that our communities are calling for are often not terribly well known about. But the biggest ones that I come across day and daily would be young people's safety, the safety for themselves, living in safe housing, living in safe communities, and being able to go outside and take part in society without fear or real risk of being attacked, of being assaulted, of being discriminated against. Because I work in healthcare, young people's access and trans young people specifically's access to healthcare is very poor across the whole of the UK and certainly Northern Ireland's apart from that. Young people struggle enormously to get access to really, really basic healthcare that people who aren't cisgender people who aren't trans really don't often have to struggle with, and just general stability and recognition in their lives, because coming out as trans, especially as a young person, can completely upend your entire life and flip everything on its head. And that instability when you're 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 22, 23, when you're at these certain really important times in your life, having to deal with everybody treating you like rubbish, or your doctors not believing you, or you not being able to be recognized by society, that's really, really tough. So being recognized and having that stability within society is what the young people I support ask for constantly.
Yeah, and I mean, I do lots of work with young people, not trans-specific work, and with a real mix of trans and cis and assorted different young people. And I mean, I see year on year the positivity and the acceptance among these people improving, which I think comes through education and comes through a real kind of change in the way that people see that openness and acceptance. For me, as an adult, when I first started really talking to people about being trans myself, I faced a lot of, as I did that kind of as an adult, a few years younger than I am now, but that was a scary thing. A lot of people with much more outdated attitudes definitely didn't make my life particularly easy. And even now, in some of the areas that I volunteer in, I don't even use the identity that I have kind of full-time in the rest of my life, because, you know, transitioning is a slow thing, and sometimes you just have to keep yourself safe. So I mean, from my point of view, I think that it's absolutely wonderful that people are focusing on that more and more at younger ages, which is absolutely amazing.
Yes, absolutely, and we've seen a big shift in the past 2 or 3 years around the support and the support from charities and organizations, but also support from the general public around trans people. And we're starting to see schools start to listen, I suppose, to young people and take them seriously, which is really the first time that's ever happened. Now, there are new problems starting to come up. The support for young adults, for example, once you hit 25, the support drops off, and we have new problems to start working towards resolving. But certainly the trends that we've seen over the past number of years, including here in Northern Ireland, which is often seen as a conservative backwater, is very, very encouraging.
Good. It's always good to see that positive progress happening. So I myself am not trans, and want to know, what are good things that allies can do, and what are some common things that allies do that they really shouldn't?
Yeah, so there's an explosion recently in terms of the support from people outside the trans community wanting to lend a hand at helping our communities, and that's fantastic. Some of the good things that allies can do is listen to the voices of trans people and of trans communities, and I suppose amplify those voices. People who are not trans or not dealing with all of the societal baggage that, that being trans puts in your life often have a lot more capacity to and a lot more capacity to get those issues stage time and airtime, and are often taken sometimes more seriously than the people who are in the community. So amplifying the voices of trans people and reflecting the wishes of trans people in your work, so including the issues of trans people and the specific issues and specific requirements of trans people in the general work that you do. So if you're doing something, if you're supporting young people or you're running a school or you're, I don't know, working in any field, just thinking about how trans people would be affected by the work that you're doing and trying to make it more inclusive, and talking to organizations like ours and others around the country to make sure that what you're doing is right. In terms of the stuff that people do that's often very well-intentioned but perhaps misdirected, is taking one trans person and really considering them to be the sort of master trans person that everyone else is sort of stamped from, kind of like a record. And trans people need different things in different situations. And something I come across time and time and time again in schools is one person comes out and the things that that one person requires are then put in place for every single other person, even when they may be the exactly the opposite of what those people need. So treating people like individuals is really, really important. And also not boiling everything down to being trans. Often we find that, and certainly often I find that even in my job and doing the work I do, it's really, really disempowering when doctors and civil servants and teachers boil every single issue I have down to me being trans. And that's often, it's usually not the case. So taking an individual approach and not boiling everything down to the fact that we're trans is good, but mostly listening to people and listening to the communities is how you be a good ally.
Thank you. That's fantastic advice. Say a trans person is facing abuse or torment or are in a really bad situation, where do they go? What should they do? And if I'm a bystander witnessing it, what should I do?
So it really depends on I suppose the crisis that you're experiencing. In the first instance, if you're having an emergency situation, you should get in touch with emergency services, and that goes without saying. If you are really struggling with ongoing harassment or ongoing torment or abuse, and you're not getting support from the official channels that already exist, get in touch with your local LGBT or our local trans organisations and ask them to do their job in advocating for you and getting support in place. Sometimes that abuse and that torment is really, really hard to work around. Maybe you're stuck in a housing situation where that's just inescapable for you. So having peer support and having a place where you can go and feel safe on a regular basis and get support from people who have been there and done that is really, really useful. But getting proper advocacy and proper support from professional people who work with supporting young, ideally other trans people, is some of the most important thing one of the most important things you can do if it's available. If you're a bystander witnessing something, again, it really depends on the type of thing that's happening, but if it's safe to do so, try to step in and stand up for a trans person receiving abuse if that's possible. Backing somebody up and providing statements and evidence if need be, if a trans person does pursue something through the police, for example, and really fighting that person's corner and then advocating for them, because often we find that when trans people go to authorities or go to when they report issues or harassment or crime, they can be taken less seriously because they're trans. So having somebody to stand up for them can be really empowering.
Yeah, and that's a very positive message, I think, for everyone, as we've been talking about tonight, supporting each other and supporting one another. I think that's it's really key. It's core for all of us to do. And we really want everyone to stay safe. That's kind of one of my primary concerns. You know, we are all on the same page here at the Geekly Chronicles. We love people. We want people to be safe. What are the best resources that can help people be as safe as they can?
Mm-hmm. Again, this really, really depends on your location and how easy you can access physical spaces and how easily you can travel. But getting access to peer support and getting access to a network of friends who will always have your back, who have been there, done that, will be able to advise and will be able to step in if you need things in an instant is really, really useful. Getting support from the organisations who are there to help can really turn around people's lives. And I see that every week. We see people come in massive crisis situations, really unsafe situations, and just getting access to somebody who can guide them really, really starts to turn things around.
Well, that's certainly really, really good advice.
Yeah, we're celebrating love, peace and acceptance on tonight's show. Tell us something heartwarming from your world that makes you want to kind of punch the air with joy.
Punching the air with joy. So I was thinking about this, and this is something that happens quite regularly. Thankfully, this sort of area of work is really emotional. It can be really stressful. Mm-hmm. And when you're constantly trying to sort of beat down the doors of school administrations and doctor's offices who just don't want to listen, it can be really disheartening. But this is something that happens quite regularly. We regularly do sort of health stalls at health fairs where schools come along and young people come along in their hundreds. And we usually don't get a terrible number of people coming up for different reasons. But something that happened a few months ago was we were at a health fair and somebody came along. And they were shaking like a leaf. It was very, very obvious. They were terribly, terribly nervous. And they walked past us at the speed of light and just swiped the leaflet from our table. I didn't really think much of it. But a week later, they turned up at our old office and they turned up with their parents. And they came out to their parents in front of us. And they were shaking like a leaf then. And their parents accepted them. Their parents took them on board, and the parents stayed on for a chat with our family support service as well. And now they burst into some of the youth groups that we run with a bunch of other young trans people, basically screaming and shouting and having a fantastic time. And this young person has got their life together now because they had the support in place when they needed it. And it's that and seeing people going from shaking like a leaf and not being able to talk to anybody about it to this being now this integral, really positive part of people's lives, that's one of the things that really does make me sort of get out of bed in the morning and feel really, really good.
That's really wonderful. It's such an amazing story, and it what is heartening for me is that you say that it does happen, you know, now and then, so it's not just a one-off.
And it shows how incredibly valuable the work that you do is, because, you know, even if it is just taking the leaflet from your table, that is the spark that starts something in someone and prompts them to get access to services they need and get the support they want. Now we have people in the chat room who've been listening along and are very, very happy to hear you say what you have said tonight. But Scattermoon says, please mention Bilbo before Ellen goes.
I know. I was excited to do this because Ellen, if people follow you on Twitter, what is one of the things they are most likely to expect from you on a daily basis?
Yes, if I'm Ellen from now on Twitter, because I could not go with a trans joke. but yeah, one of the most prominent, I suppose, forms of highly, highly good content that I put on the internet is photos of my cat, the enormous good boy. Who's called Bilbo. I didn't name him, but he's certainly become a very good part of my life, and he tries to suffocate me to sleep every night. so certainly if you're following me at any part of the internet, you'll regularly and routinely see gratuitous pictures of a very big orange cat.
He's absolutely beautiful. How old is Bilbo?
He's just over two. Wow. But he's shows no signs of stopping growing, which is very, very good.
Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, he's absolutely wonderful. So, Ellen, Before we say our goodbyes, how can people get in touch if they want to? How can they follow you, and how can they find kind of information about some of the things you've talked about this evening?
Sure. So there's following me personally is Ellen from now on Twitter. I mostly talk rubbish. I talk disability and trans stuff and cat photos, as I've already said. If people in Northern Ireland want support around being trans or questioning stuff, the website transgenderini.com is a hub of information for all the support groups here. Genderjam.lgbt is our own website. We've got that nice cool domain name. Nice. And for people in outside of Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, there are a number of different trans organisations for different age groups, different areas, and for families. And I would encourage people just to Google stuff in their area. There isn't really a hub yet for GB stuff, but the information is widely accessible online.
Well, there is, of course, the Trans Lifeline in the US as well, translifeline.org, mm-hmm. Which is, I know, facing an influx of calls this week more than ever, and needs support and donations. So if you're in the US or Canada, you can check that out. Again, a quick Google in your country should hopefully reveal some local services to you. Certainly in the UK here, or in Great Britain, if you Google around, you should be able to find some local services near you as well. Now, Ellen, we ask every guest that comes on the show to pick a song that they can request and dedicate to someone or some people before they go. And you have chosen something for this evening. So over to you to introduce that.
Yes, absolutely. I'm just sort of closing up the Belfast Trans Centre now, and we had a drop-in earlier on with a load of young people in, and some of the folks who hung on to the end, I asked what they wanted to listen to, or what I should request, and a lot of maybe trans listeners now will perhaps be rolling their eyes, but there was a clear winner, and there were a few suggestions, but there were clear winners. So on behalf of the Gender Jammers from Belfast in Northern Ireland, we request the True Trans Soul Rebel by Against Me.
Fantastic. And we'll play that for you now. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us. It's been absolutely amazing to talk to you.
Yes, incredibly inspiring.
Thank you.
Not a problem. My pleasure.
And do take care, and we look forward to seeing some more of those cat pictures online.
Yes.
Undoubtedly. Hopefully tonight.
Lovely. And here it is.
Your presenters have a combined IQ of 6,000, the same as 6,000 Trump supporters.
Oh, I'd forgotten that jingle had the T word in it. Gonna have to press that button now, aren't I? Not that one. That one. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, when we wrote that jingle, it seemed so funny, and now it's just sad. Well, thank you again so much to Ellen. I've been repeating the name over and over and over, so I got
Ellen.
It right.
Not Elaine, not Helen.
Ellen.
Thanks to Helen for being on the show earlier, of course, and thanks to Elaine for being in the chat room.
But this was
this
Ellen.
Time, Ellen.
Yep. And, you know, continuing on with the theme of talking about positivity and support, there's an amazing news story this week about... Scouts and Guides, the Scout Association, essentially, that provide a mental health boost for life. And mental health is a really important and often taboo issue to talk about. I think even still now in 2016, mental health issues are seen as somehow sinister. Mm. And, you know, it's not quite the same as someone who's got a bad back. Someone who's suffering from mental health issues is seen somehow as different to that.
Yes.
And
people are often given advice like, oh, have you tried just not being depressed?
Yeah, which is, you know, like, well, have you tried just not having a bad back?
Yeah, you know, have you tried not having a broken leg?
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
And very unhelpful.
Very unhelpful. Yes. So it's amazing to see positive news stories about things that improve mental health. And, you know, there's a lot of really great stuff out there that people can get involved in that is really positive and life affirming. And I think for me, this article, I mean, there are more than something like more than 2 million young people in the UK that are part of the Scout Association. Or half a million. Either way, I can't remember the stat. It looks
a
like
large
it's probably
number.
Half a million. Yeah. Lots and lots of young people that are involved in scouting, for example. And it's, you know, it caters for people of all beliefs, backgrounds, gender identities, etc. In the UK, at least. It's a very open organisation. And it also chimed in nicely with a news report I read a couple of weeks ago from Childline. Childline in the UK is a national free phone hotline that young people can call and talk if they're worried or they need someone to talk to. It's the Samaritans for young people, essentially. And they reported that this year alone, in the last 12 months, they'd received a 35% increase in the number of calls from people who were just anxious about the state of the world. They were citing reasons from the US presidential election, Brexit, through to things like the war in Syria. And these are young people who, I think traditionally, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, people would have said, well, they're just kids. They're too young to care about this stuff. That's obviously not the case. And I think that as we've started to realise that mental health is something that we need to take care of from an early age, and as organisations like Childline have started to reveal that actually, you know, people as young as 10 are really concerned about things like the war in Syria and what happens if a maniacal racist despot becomes the most powerful man in the world and things like that.
You know, should that hypothetically happen?
Ever happen, yeah. So, you know, it's great that these things are being talked about, and I think that we had a fantastic celebration with Ellen just before the last song of young trans people and trans people in general, and the fact that there are resources available and there are so many people, so many allies that want to get involved and help. And I think that, you know, there's a need for that kind of thing with mental health issues as well. And so, you know, kind of a nice shout out, I suppose, to our listeners at this point in time to say, this stuff isn't stigma. This stuff isn't bad. It's not wrong to talk about. Let's have an open discussion about these things, because people need to talk about it.
Yeah, actually, I found this article about scouts really quite inspiring. An analysis of 10,000 people found ex-members of things like the scouting scout groups were 15% less likely than other adults to suffer anxiety or mood disorders at the age of 50. And I think it's to do with these lessons in, you know, dealing with unexpected challenges, you know, resilience and resolve that come from, you know, taking part in these kind of activities with other young people at such an informative time of your life.
What?
So fantastic thing that's been going on for over 100 years now. So.
Well, absolutely. I also like to think that the kind of the breaking down of barriers that things like the Scout Association provide, especially, is brilliant, because people can just hang out in an environment, even if it's for a couple of hours a week, where the focus is not on who you are, but the focus is on what you can do, and everyone is told that they can achieve what everyone else is achieving in there. So there's no, you can't do this because, or there's no, maybe you shouldn't do this because. Everyone has the same opportunity, and everyone in that room, even if it's just for 2 hours a week, can be the same as everyone. They can be as brilliant as they want to be. They can shine as bright as they are. That's amazing. I mean, we need more places like that in the world.
Yeah, it's nice to have places you can feel safe and appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. We've got plenty of chat going on about this in the chat room as well, but I cannot make the forest from the trees for some of these. So it's all very confusing, but all I get is that Elaine does not like hiking.
I think that's something to do with stream crossing, based on...
You cross streams. You cross streams in the Scouts and rivers and
usually
lakes.
When you're hiking.
Busting ghosts.
Yes.
Oh, no, that's when you are not supposed to cross the streams.
Yeah, I'm not sure she's talking about streams as
I'm being told off now. They're in capital letters. I love hiking. How dare you? Wow. Our chat room is lively, people. Please come and join in our chat room at gkly.co/chat or GKLY on Freenode IRC. Wow. And we've had a ton of requests in from people. Loads of really amazing songs that have really positive messages that people want to play. Yes, thank you. This show so far has been such an amazing celebration of positivity and love, and I love it. Don't you love it?
Yeah,
I love it.
You love it.
I'm pretty in support of this.
And now we mentioned earlier in the show, kind of thinking back to our winning word, as a matter of fact, because I don't know if you realized, people, but we had mentioned it. I know.
We have.
Yeah, and if you can remember.
if you can remember when we mentioned it, then please call in to win stuff.
Yes.
but yeah. yes, Terence Eden runs that blog.
He does.
That fun stuff for under a fiver.
So we have one of those things to add to the winning word prize bundle right now.
So, let's open up the mystery box and see what we've got.
Yep. I'm opening my mystery box.
Okay.
You heard it here first. Right.
So this is the prize for...
I should have rattled it first. It sounds like something familiar.
We have no idea what this is going to be.
Okay, this is...
what have we got?
This is a Blu-ray.
It is a Blu-ray. Wow.
Yeah,
so whoever wins this week's winning words wins our Geekly Swag Bundle and...
It's The Muppets Take Manhattan.
That is one of my favourite films. Give that here. Oh, my word. I love this film.
Remastered for Blu-ray by the looks of things.
Look at me. Here I am. Right. Oh, I love this. This is such a good film. Have you seen this?
I have not
seen
it.
I don't think I have.
I went to the world premiere of The Muppets Take Manhattan. I was a baby, but I went to the world premiere of this film.
Wow.
Checking that it is accurate, and it is this film. Yes, it is this film.
Wow.
I sat on John Cleese's knee at one point during the premiere.
Well.
Hashtag claim to fame.
Oh, yeah, my grandfather works on this film. It is incredible. I just highlight of my childhood right here. Whoever is winning this week's winning words, you are so lucky. So lucky, because it's so good.
Are there any extra features on it since it's a Blu-ray?
Special features, interview with Jim Henson, that's worth it in its own.
Oh, yeah.
And they also have an interview with Miss Piggy, Kermit the Frog, Pepe, and Fozzie Bear.
Brilliant.
Which is quite excellent.
Can't argue with that.
The audio is in English, Russian, French, German, Portuguese, or Spanish.
Got more options than a Blu-ray.
And they have subtitles for English, hard of hearing, Chinese, simplified or traditional. Danish, Finnish, French, German, Greek, Hindi, Korean, Norwegian, Portuguese, Spanish, Swedish, Thai, and Turkish. So wherever you are in the world, whoever wins this week's winning words, you are
could be able to
sorted.
Understand it at least.
Yes, that's amazing.
I do love how many languages you can fit on the subtitle track of
yes.
the Blu-ray.
Thank you so much for doing that. Oh, yes. Incredible.
So if you want to win The Muppets Take Manhattan... as well as all of our Geekly Bundle, and you can remember when we said the winning word, do give us a ring with the numbers on the website.
Yeah, and in the meantime,
if you hear the winning word, give us a call in the UK on 020-3389-6245 or in the US on 415-287-9705. You might just win something.
And as a reminder of what this week's winning word is, now this is not a winning opportunity, but this week's winning word is...
Blintz.
So if you hear that during the show, call in.
Yeah.
Call in and you can win Geekly, Swag, and The Muppets Take Manhattan.
What a film.
You're listening to the Geekly Chronicles. It's like a penguin, but the jokes are better.
That's debatable. I like that we all came to the same conclusion there.
Well, I have some news for you both.
Do you really?
Yes. Not only have people been able to spot the winning word, we had two people call in at almost the same time.
Yes.
Almost the same time. Now, the rules are that the first person that calls in is the one that gets the prize. But it was so close I think this week we're going to have a winner and a runner-up.
Golly.
So I'm going to bring both of these people on the air, one after the other. We'll do the winner first, and then we'll talk to the runner-up and give that person a mark. So the people on the line have no idea who's the winner and who's the running-up.
Yeah.
So this is...
it's tense.
So whoever is listening, whoever you are on the phone, please... do know that that this is an opportunity for some cheering. So I'm going to press a button.
The button of magic.
The button of magic. And we should now have our winning words winner on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I was expecting more excitement.
Well, I've been waiting on the phone for a minute. But,
are you suggesting that waiting with the Red Hot Chili Peppers in the background is not exciting?
Well, I couldn't hear it because I was listening on my phone.
Oh, that's
so I was
point.
Just listening to the Glee theme music looping.
Are you saying that's not exciting?
Okay, you will have missed our explanation just now then, but we had two phone calls coming in at almost exactly the same time. You, however, were just first, so you are this week's Winning Words winner. Congratulations.
If.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
If you can tell us when you heard us say the word.
If Kez remembers the rules of the competition.
Rules.
Okay.
It's rigged. It's all rigged anyway.
I think I heard it when you were talking about Wetherspoons, and in particular the carpets in Wetherspoons, and how the a particular Wetherspoons carpet had this word.
Have you forgotten the word?
I have forgotten the word.
I'm going to need you to say. I'm going to need you to say the winning word.
That's not in the rules.
Blintz. No. Yes, it was Blintz. Okay. Well, congratulations. Who are you and where are you from?
I'm Alyssa from Edinburgh.
Scotland.
Don't do
beautiful.
The don't do
I'm
the
not going to do the accent. Do the I'm not. You hate it when I do.
Please don't.
So congratulations. We'll be in touch just off the air with you know needing to get some details from you to get this sent over. But congratulations on winning not only a Geekly merchandise bundle but a Blu-ray copy of the greatest film of all time.
I didn't know we had Citizen Kane.
No. Yeah. The Muppets Take Manhattan. Thank you very much, Alyssa.
Thank you.
Woo! And huge congratulations to Alyssa. Now, we as mentioned, we do have a runner-up. Let me talk to this person.
Press the other magic button.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello. You are live on the Geekly Chronicles. Please do not swear.
Very
oh,
Divina.
Okay, I won't. Good morning.
Good morning. So we we have just said we had two calls come in at almost the same time.
Yeah, I was listening.
Oh, you were
listening.
It's
really hard to listen and be on the phone at the same time, it turns out.
I'm sorry. But what this does mean is that you are this week's and our first of the series runner-up, which means that you get some Geekly Chronicles merchandise, a Geekly mug, and some other bits and pieces will be on its way to you.
Yay.
So who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm Kaylee, and I'm calling from Colorado in the United States.
Colorado! Ah, this is brilliant. We've had nobody from England enter this yet. It's great. We've had someone from Scotland and someone from Colorado today.
Yes.
This is
wonderful.
Great. Yes.
Hooray. Fortunately, for the time being, Scotland is still part of the United Kingdom, so we don't have to pay for international shipping.
That's true. But we are more than happy to do so for you as well. So, Kaylee, we will collect your details just off air, but thank you for calling in, listening from all the way over there. How what's the weather like?
It's sunny. It's actually really nice today.
Well, that's good. Define really nice. I mean, it's, you know, very different climate over there to the one here.
It's sunny and it's not raining. It's quite warm also. Like, I went out in shorts earlier today. So not everything is ruined over here yet.
That's good then. Well, I got to my car this morning and tried to clear the window and it was all ice. So...
Oh, man.
Yay for that.
No, it's warm enough for shorts over here.
Excellent. I think I might just go out in shorts tomorrow anyway, just to defy the cold English weather. Well, Kaylee, thank you so much for calling in, and your Geekly mug and stuff will be on its way.
Thank you.
Okay, now I think we know what time it is now.
We do.
Game of Geeks.
Well, I was kind of hoping for a slightly longer one than that.
Presenter versus presenter, geek versus geek. It's a showdown of Well, it's a showdown. It's Game of Geeks.
That's right. It's the time where Chris pits Catherine and I against each other in a quiz of epic proportions.
I do indeed. And epic the proportions shall be. If you haven't been listening before, is a quiz in which I ask Kez and Catherine questions about films, TV shows, books, and other items of popular culture. I will give you three clues. If you get it on my first clue, you score 3 points. If you get it on the second, you score 2. And if you get it on the third, you score just 1 point. But in a twist on previous series, if you do score just 1 point, you have the opportunity to double or nothing with a bonus question.
Ooh.
And for this quiz to work, we're going to need buzzers. So this week, Kez goes...
Well, that works.
Yeah, it does. It sounds a bit like when you get an answer wrong on QI, but...
it's a car alarm.
I mean...
I was trying to steal Catherine's shat-nav.
I see. And Catherine goes... Shatnav have taken you a traffic-y route.
Clearly. That's basically like the difference between mine and your thought process, isn't it? Mine's like a very clear kind of single noise, and yours is just a mess of traffic.
If you say so, okay.
Okay. And with that in mind, we'll go to round one.
She's going to win now.
Fingers on buzzers, please. The first question regards a film.
Okay.
Is it The Muppets Take Manhattan?
It's not The Muppets Take Manhattan. I did introduce a rule. If you get it before I've read any of the clues, you get 4 points. But
no.
But
okay.
No
I didn't even buzz.
No
that.
Points there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It ain't worth it.
I mean, I could have made it a million points because it's basically impossible to get. But this is a TV series. I'm so sorry.
It's not a film.
I read the card wrong.
Oh, well, that's okay. Go on.
I read my little drawing wrong. But this political satire comedy series created by Armando Iannucci.
That's easy.
Would you like me to finish the question?
That's such an easy one.
Would you like me to finish the question or not?
Okay, go on then.
Premiered on HBO on the 22nd of April, 2012.
Feet.
Is the correct answer.
Gosh darn it.
I pre-buzzed.
Yes.
For 3 points.
You did for 3 points. I wondered if you would just jump in and get...
No, I was thinking Beep. I was like, he's not going to give us a question that easy.
Yes, but you did get 3 points there. Well done. Right out of the gate and in the lead. Now, the next question is another TV series. Fingers on buzzers. For the first clue, this TV show is a children's adaptation of a popular reality television format. Kez.
I don't know.
And yet you buzzed.
Can I buzz?
Is it Big Brother?
It's not Big Brother.
That'd
that's
be terrible.
Not, that's not legal to do to
it would
children.
Be terrible. X Factor, Pop Idol, something.
Shut up. I'm afraid I'm going to have to take your first guess. Catherine, you buzzed as well.
Goggle Sprongs
is not the right answer.
That's
I'm afraid.
Tea. Well, I suppose it is.
It is, but but it's not the answer to this question. So moving on to the second clue. This junior version of a popular cookery competition is broadcast on CBBC and is open to 9 to 12-year-olds.
You got in there first.
Junior Bake Off
is not the right answer.
Okay.
I'm afraid.
I want a buzz for this question, please.
Kez.
Junior MasterChef.
Is the correct answer.
Yes!
Coming in after two clues.
Excellent.
And scoring 2 points.
Early
Junior MasterChef.
Now.
I did construct that question so that you would guess Goggle Sprogs followed by Junior Bake Off.
I wouldn't have guessed either of those. If it wasn't singing, it would be cooking. And the only cooking one that came to mind was Junior Master. Has there been a Junior Bake Off?
Yeah.
Well, there has
probably terrible.
Nadia from last year is judging it. So there you go.
Next question.
The next question is a book.
Okay.
So fingers on buzzers. Clue number one. In the year of its publication, this 2011 novel was Britain's best-selling book. That stumped you.
Mm-hmm. When was 2011? What was I doing?
It was about 5 years ago.
Thanks. That's Max's memory.
Casual Vacancy, J.K. Rowling.
Is not the right answer, I'm afraid.
Oh,
was a very popular book when it came out. It was a very good guess, but that was not the best-selling book in 2011, I'm afraid.
Curses.
Mm. That's her other books.
Uh-huh. Next clue.
Elaine says in the chat room that it sounds a bit like the M4 at rush hour in here.
Okay.
This book originated as fan fiction.
Oh, I was about to buzz. I know this.
50 Shades of Grey
is the right answer.
Ah, but do you know what the title of it was before it became 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah, I'll award a bonus point because that was in the question, but I didn't get to read it out.
Okay.
Do you know it?
No.
No, neither do I.
Okay. I got a feeling wasn't it originally Twilight?
It was Twilight fanfiction.
It was based on Twilight.
Because it was on fanfiction.net, and in the front of the book, it actually has an acknowledgement to it.
Yes. The original title was Master of the Universe, and it was taken down off fanfiction.net, slightly rewritten, and published as a novel in 2011, featuring desires that some may call unconventional.
And others might just call misogynistic and terrible.
Well, yeah, there is that, but, you know.
Let's go with that.
I didn't write that on my card.
Next question!
But, moving on to the next question. This is another TV show. There's a lot of TV shows in tonight's quiz.
My buzzer hand is not very quick, is it?
Maybe you need to swap buzzer hands.
Maybe. I'll use both.
So, this American crime drama mystery ran for 8 seasons between October 2006 and September 2013 and celebrated its 10th anniversary this year.
Is it Bones?
It's not Bones, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I thought you got it when you guessed with that.
Yeah.
Very good guess. But
it's the only one of them I've watched.
I've never watched Bones.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's really good.
I've never watched Bones.
And it's got Angel from Buffy in it.
It's one of those things that I should really watch it. Bones. But...
Oh, David Boreanaz. Anyway.
Well, Bones is not the answer to this question, but I may be watching that after the show tonight.
It's well worth it.
this American crime drama mystery TV series is based on a series of novels of the same name-ish by Jeff Lindsay.
Oh, this is ringing bells, but I'm...
What I just thought of hasn't run for 10 seasons.
8 seasons.
Why am I helping you?
I don't know. I don't think it ran for 8 seasons either, so... Unless I'm wrong.
No, I'm stumped here. Should we get the last clue?
Okay, the last clue. The main character is a forensic technician who leads a double life as a secret vigilante. Kez.
Dexter.
Is the correct answer coming in after.
I was spoiled by the 8 seasons. I thought it was 7.
It was 8, as it turns out, and it celebrated its 10th anniversary on the 1st of October. Kez, you've scored 1 point. Would you like a bonus question to double or nothing?
What's my score?
Your score is currently 2 points.
No, I got 2 points and then 1 point, so my score is 3.
Your score would be 3. You have a 1 point hanging in the balance.
Okay, what's Catherine's score?
Catherine's score is 5.
Well, okay, yeah, I'll double or nothing.
You'll take a bonus question.
There's literally no point in not doing it.
Could you please, for me, pick a colour from the original Simon game, red, yellow, green or blue?
Red.
Okay, red gets you a thesaurus question.
Thesaurus.
If you like. I have taken the titles of some popular films, TV shows, etc. and run them through a thesaurus like that scene... in Friends, where Joey ran his entire speech through a thesaurus. And they have been spat out onto these cards.
Okay.
And you just have to guess what the original title was.
Okay.
So your title is The Shadowy Paladin.
The Dark Knight.
Is the right answer.
Hey!
Bonus point for you there.
So I bumped someone 6.
That puts you on 4 points.
I had 3.
Yeah, you had 2, and then you had the 1 from that question, and you gambled that to win the bonus point.
Well, that's just confusing. But I got 4.
You've got 4.
And Catherine's got 5.
Catherine's got 5.
And that's the end.
That's the end of Game of Geeks.
So basically what you're saying then is that, well...
This week's winner is... Catherine.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. By 1 point.
Yes.
Very closely fought match.
Absolutely. So, congratulations. We'll change the format up to the end of the show slightly. We'll play you out with a song. But before we do that, I feel like we ought to be checking in with Would You Fund It?
Indeed.
We should indeed. Let's have a look at those results. At the top of the show, Catherine pitched to us the Shatnav, and the results say that you would fund
Hey, congratulations.
William Shatner-powered sat-nav.
Fantastic. We'll be getting those surveys out to you from Kickstarter very soon.
Indeed.
The Shatnav. I'm excited that that's got funded, actually. I do want one.
We need to get on the horn to Shatner's people.
Yes, we do. 78% of the audience tonight would very much be in support of a William Shatner-powered or voiced sat-nav.
Brilliant. I'm quite excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
Good news.
Absolutely. And so... tonight we're going to play you out with a song. This morning we got the unfortunate news that poet, writer, songwriter, and just kind of all-round creative genius Leonard Cohen has passed away. He passed away last night, and it's very sad. He was a particularly huge influence of mine. And we will play you out with one of his songs to celebrate his life in the way that we've celebrated so many other people's lives on the show this evening. An absolutely huge thanks to Ellen Murray for coming on as our guest, and also Helen, the ML for Berkshire NaNoWriMo for sharing us, or NaNoWriMo for sharing with us more of that.
Yes, congratulations to Alyssa for winning the Winning Word prize bundle, and also to Kaylee for being the runner-up and winning some geekly merch.
Yeah, that was very close calling in there indeed.
It was a close call, one might say.
Thanks to everyone who sent in requests, tweeted us, and took part in the chat room tonight. We'll be back for episode 5 in 2 weeks' time on the 25th of November with more of all your favourite features, another £5 thing, and more special guests.
Exciting stuff.
Well, indeed. But until then, from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
It's goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine, and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is a Tiny Kettle production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill, live long and prosper, wear sunscreen.